Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. I'm coming at you from sunny Gloucester this morning. That's where I am. Steve Edge is here. He's in the country. Where are you, Steve?
I'm in St. Leonard's. Just it's normal. St. Leonard's. Normal. Son's bedroom. Normal. In between the bunk beds. Yeah.
Is that the best place?
I've got the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man looking at me and hee haw. And yeah. I don't know what that is.
Is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, is that for sound? Have you done?
Yes. And he's about 3 foot tall. He's a fair. I can wrap him around the microphone. He's great.
Oh, that's good. So a proper big one. Yeah, because your son is, whilst he's only, I'm going to say.
He's eight.
I nearly went seven.
No, he's eight.
So he's only eight, but his taste in movies and comedies, I think, heavily influenced from the dad.
No, it's not at all. I mean, 1 year, he asked for a scale.
Mate, he watches Laurel and Hardy.
That's nothing to do with me, though.
I'm not having it. Buster... No, listen. What kid has found Buster Keaton by themselves at school?
I'll tell you what happened. When in lockdown, he was four, five. He loved trains. He found a DVD, The General, Buster Keaton, with a train on the front. He said, a train? Dido? And I was like, all right, we'll watch this then. Loved it. Kept watching it. Loved it. Black and white comedy. Then he saw on the shelf Lauren Hardy. He went, what's this? Calls him Stan and Ollie. Does it call him Lauren Hardy? That's what's weird. But yeah, he found it all himself. He likes the idea of a DVD because obviously it's not their generation, is it? They're all streamers and stuff. But he's like,
he's going to be one of them. Like teenagers who's got a record player in his university dorm.
It might be, yeah. It's not from me. Yeah, like 1 year he asked for Sky Electrics. It was Back to the Future versus Knight Rider. Right, I like Back to the Future, but I like Knight Rider. And every time he asked Santa for it, I could see Santa looking at me going, Daddy's had a word. And I'm like, no, mate. He wants Sky Electrics and he likes Back to the Future. I don't know where the Knight Rider things come from. It's nothing to do with me.
It is weird when your kids have got like... Like with my youngest, my six-year-old, he is so clever, and me, you know, I'm not thick, you know what I mean, but I'm not I'm not your first phone call on phone a friend. That's all I'm saying.
No, I was your second when you did it, wasn't I?
Yeah, that's you were. Yeah, and I wish I'd have rang you because my dad got it wrong.
But yeah, I didn't know.
No, I know it's a tough one. And Lucy's clever, but again, not. Like, clever in her field, you know what I mean, in a job, and very, very bright in that respect. But this kid, the other day, this is a six-year-old, right? And I've not put this on Twitter because I know I'll get this never happened, or, never you know, happened. One of those things where people think you're making your kids say things that sound funny.
Yeah.
The other day, he was, like, chewing on the end of his pencil, doing a bit of homework. And I said, oh, wait, hey, don't do that, you'll get lead poisoning. You know, classic, like parents. And he went... Well, how? Because this is made of graphite.
It's good, though. It's a good answer.
I mean, he's right.
Yeah.
But he's six.
I mean, I just don't even know what lead is or graphite at that age.
Where's that come from? That's not come from me. I think it's YouTube kids.
Yeah, I think you want to give him a dead leg now. Just don't let him get too confident. Just give him a little dink just to go, hey.
Where's it come from?
Don't know. Maybe it was on. Who knows what's on? You know, I remember when Hal used to watch Blaze and the Monster Machines, and they would talk about gravity
they just
and angles,
stuff
and
up.
Friction, and you're like, don't need to know about friction.
Yeah. It is funny when they. He said to me the other day. He went, I was telling a story. I never noticed this. There's the other thing that kids do where they notice a weakness of yours that you've either noticed and kept deep hidden. Or never noticed and now can't stop seeing it or hearing it because they've said it. They can like, do you know what I mean? They can be like, all right, stick hips. Yeah. You're like, hang on, what are you talking about? My son, again, in the background, and I know he's learning stuff at school, but he goes, I'm telling a story to Lucy in the front of the car. I didn't even know he was listening. And I was sort of, you know, you're sort of telling a story and you're going, and then, you know, then he pipes up, Daddy, there was a lot of prepositions in that sentence.
Prepositions? I don't even know what that means.
I had to Google it. I had to Google it.
I can work it out, but I mean, I didn't, you know.
Yeah, so like prepositions are like small words, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
but I'd, for I'd say, I'd, as I'd say, and I'd on say two.
Yeah, double dead leg. Just he's getting a bit too.
I think he's going to go through a window. He's just too clever. This is Jason Manford. This is Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. Exciting week this week. I did Have I Got Sports For You?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you said, yeah. So was it good? Good fun, that?
Do you know what? It was really good fun. I mean, obviously, I'm going to say that I'm biased, but there was a lot of laughs. We had team captains Maisie Adam and John Richardson, who were both very funny. John's obviously done hundreds of these shows with 8 or 10 cats and the countdown stuff, so he knows what he's doing. And Maisie's so, she's just got that like no filter thing where she just, some of the stuff she comes out with is so funny. Yeah. We had a couple of Olympians, Paralympian and Olympian, Kadina and Katarina. And we had Stuart Broad, who was great fun. But I'll tell you who we had. We had Eddie Hearn, the boxing promoter.
Yeah.
He's like, do you know when, he's massive, by the way. I can see how like he hangs around with boxers. It must be catching. He's huge. I'm 6'4". He must be 6'5".
Right.
Okay. 6'5", 6'6", but he's stocky as well. He's got that like, you know when someone, you'll get this, right? You know when someone's an alpha male?
Yeah.
But he's an alpha male, not in a like a worrying way.
Like a, yeah.
He's like a like.
What
in
do you
a,
mean, like
yeah,
a sort
he feels
of protective
safe.
Way?
Yeah, yeah. He's got. He's like a silverback.
Like you'd run to him for him to wrap his arms around you if something happened in a.
Like, yeah, like on a cold night, I wouldn't mind wearing his. Yeah, on a cold night, I wouldn't mind wearing his jacket.
Crumbling a bit, you know, that sort of vibe. Yeah, you just go over and go, oh, hold me. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I just was like. Yeah, it was only afterwards I thought, like a silverback. That's what he's like. He's very nice, though, and happy to laugh at himself, which is good. But that show will be on, I think that's going to be on between Christmas and New Year.
That's a strange period.
Yeah, I think so. It's a nice period to go in because everyone's at home, or a lot of people at home. And goes on before The Traitors, I think, when The Traitors, the first episode of The Traitors is back. Apparently, there's a traitor going between Christmas and New Year, by all accounts.
Oh, is there?
So, yeah, apparently so. I don't know if it's a Christmas special or I don't know how they're going to do it, but it is what it is. So it's literally Have I Got News For You, but about sport. I mean, it's not rocket science, you know, and I guess it's got that sort of, it's not as serious, obviously, as like a question of sport. Not that that was serious in the last series with Paddy and whatnot. And it's, I guess it's not as edgy, for want of a better word, as something like they think it's all over, but nothing is anymore because that's not been on for 22 years.
No, different times. Different,
different times. Different times, different times. I was reading about that. There was loads of like apologies on that show. I didn't realise where they'd had to apologise to like Fatima Whitbread. Luke Chadwick had written a whole thing about how upset he was by people picking on him on that show, and they all wrote, you know, heartfelt apologies years later. So I feel like I've done well in that respect. I don't feel like there's anybody out there who's like, if I meet Jason Manford, that joke he did about me, like, I've been pretty careful, really. Because of that exact reason, the idea of bumping into somebody who you've done a joke about. I once bumped into Gary Neville at Mamas and Papas once when our daughters were first born.
Yeah, as you do, yeah.
And I said I bumped into him. He was in the shop and I was in the shop. And this is probably all in my head, but I used to have a routine about Neville, the Gary Dad's dad. Yeah. Just sort of saying, you know, he got the name because he filled the form in wrong once where, you know, it's asking for his surname, first name and he wrote his surname, I would say. Yeah, exactly. And he's done. I'll just put Neville. And it used to get a big laugh. And I did it on Live at the Apollo. And it was like lots of people mentioned it. And then one day I thought, I was in this shop and I thought, he sort of looked at me. And in that moment I went, he knows. He's seen it.
He knows. Yeah.
And that was the moment I thought.
He didn't let on or anything?
He didn't let on. He didn't say hi. It was a long time ago. I don't fully know. No, yeah. I don't fully know. I've never seen him since or heard from him since. But that's what I cannot get my head around.
Yeah.
Comics well, who go in hard
Barlow
on people.
Said to me, have we met before? And I thought, no, we haven't, but...
Yeah, but has he seen Star Stories?
An entire episode of Star Stories where yeah. I wore a wig and a fat suit. So
yeah,
we've met like before, though.
No, it's different times. It's different times.
Different times.
Questions for Steve.
We've got a question for Steve, of course, this morning. This one comes from Charlotte, who says, I found myself making an expensive mistake while listening to the show last weekend. Hang on, we're not liable here, are we?
Oh, no, we're not getting a blame for this, are we?
I don't know, Steve. Should we see where it goes? Yeah. I had a couple of hours spare on Sunday morning and decided to make some homemade brownies. During Hit Me With Your Best Facts, I rushed to my iPad to turn the volume up. I wanted to make sure I absorbed every piece of information. Well, I respect Good. That.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to miss the bit of that. The salient bit of the fact, do you? You don't.
No. No, exactly. As I picked up my iPad, it immediately slipped through my fingers, which were lightly dusted with flour. Oh. I knew just by looking at the face-down tablet on the tiled floor, the damage had already been done.
Oh, dear.
I reckon you could claim for that, you know. I'd write into Bauer.
Yeah, it's worth a go, isn't it?
I think it's worth a go. You know, we're in that sort of culture, aren't we, where it's always someone else's fault.
Yeah, they might send you like a smart speaker or something, because that's cheaper than a new iPad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I would. Care of Peter Horspool. That's our producer.
And then say, yeah. Just mention, put your windows through. If this matter is not resolved in 14 days, I will put your windows through. Yeah. And we can send out we got Peter's address. I think I've got it, so I'll put that online.
Put it on Twitter
if you don't get a response. In the next couple of weeks, I'll put that online.
It's a shame it wasn't on Microsoft, and then you could put your windows through.
Yeah.
Put Windows 95 through.
Yeah. Put your Windows 95 through. That's all the tech sorted.
I'd say that sounds like definitely a Bauer.
It's worth a shot, isn't it?
Problem. I think it's worth an ask, and hopefully you get someone who's off the day, you know, just goes, I'll pay it. You know, that's what I'd do. Anyway, look, that's not what I'm saying.
You've
it's
got
not
our
blessing. Fault.
That's all I'm saying. You've got our blessing.
Charlotte's question is, what's your most expensive mistake? Thanks for keeping me laughing. She says, PS, in case you're wondering, I managed to get the iPad screen fixed later that day, so we're all right. Mm. So she's fine, but it's still worth a claim.
I think we've all done some sort of iPad or tablet in the bottom of a buggy, haven't we? And then trying to follow the buggy down.
Oh, the iPad in the buggy. I've done that.
Why is it not going down?
And then you really force it, don't you?
Bent. Like when you bend it. Not even crack the screen, when you bend it a bit.
Yeah.
You know you've done something there. But you get extra strength when you're working around children, I think. Because you know what I mean? You're ready to protect them and stuff. And I think that's what that is.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I've done a few of those.
Put petrol in the wrong petrol in your car.
I've never done that, no.
That was an expensive mistake. Well, luckily I was with one of the people who I was insured against misfueling, as it's called.
You can be actually insured for that. Stupidity.
Yeah. Well, it's the kind of thing you only do once. Basically, yeah, I left at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was driving to Brighton. I lived in Twickenham. And the bin lorries were at the petrol station, and they were throwing like loo rolls at each other, like messing about.
What?
So I had to reverse into a space like the
side. Just to go back, clean ones, they're not getting them out the back of the rubbish bin.
I don't know. I just saw them lobbing stuff at each other, and I was like, oh, mate, lads. So I had to reverse into a bay. I had to do it upside down, fuel upside down, because normally it won't go in. If it's unleaded in a diesel, it won't go in. Mm. Different size nozzle, so, you know, it didn't. But I was coming at it from a different angle. Anyway, but like, you know, 40 quid's worth. Drove all the way to Brighton with me unleaded fuel in my diesel engine. Stopped at Peace Party Services, tried to start the engine, wouldn't start. Picked the receipt up, nearly cried. Because that's the thing, they say, don't start the engine. I'd driven to Brighton.
You'd already been halfway there.
No, I was nearly there.
What happens with that? Was that a new engine?
Well, I rang Jaguar Assistance, and they've got your number, and they go, hello, Steve, how's it going? And I went, oh, I think I've put the wrong fuel in my car. And they went, well, Mr. Edge. And I suddenly became Mr. Edge. I wasn't Steve anymore. When I answered, I was Steve. But yeah, they said don't start the engine. And I said, a bit late for that. But yeah, they tow it away. I mean, that was the one time you were really happy with the insurance, because it would have been, anybody who knows anything about cars, a diesel engine with petrol in.
Talking of
a Jaguar as well.
So well, talking of Jaguar, they've been in the news this week, haven't they?
What are they doing?
Well, they've sort of rebranded. They've got an advert which doesn't contain any cars, which is a bit odd.
Weird.
And also their badge has changed. Their logo has changed.
The Jaguar.
Yeah, the actual Jaguar's gone, and it just says Jaguar in like a weird font.
Leaping leopard.
And it says copy, it's like copy nothing or something like that, or copy, I don't know, something.
Oh, no, don't do
copy
this.
Nothing. And they've changed that, and then their advert is, I mean, look, I've not actually seen the advert, I've just seen pictures of it, but I can see why it's tickled people the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like, it does look like it's gone through, and again, we're not those people, but it looks like it's gone through a woke machine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like devil's advocate.
How many things can I? Yeah, exactly. How many things can we tick off?
Yeah.
to do this advert. It's a very odd advert for a car. That's all I'd say.
Let's have a look at that. Yeah.
I'm not upset about it, but I can see why the people who are upset about these things are upset. If that makes sense, it's definitely worth a look. Have a look at it now while we put this on. Jason
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Just watched the Jaguar advert.
It was a strange advert, wasn't it?
Could be about Paris Fashion Week.
Yeah.
Could be
a new BBC Three sitcom, I thought, at some point.
Yeah. What I'll say is not one of the people in that advert look like they drive a Jaguar.
No, I didn't. I wanted to see the sort of 65-year-old sales executive in the back, just getting out of the lift.
It's hard, isn't it? Because obviously, when you Google it there, the first link that comes along is from GB News.
I
never want to align myself.
It's not my news source. Not my go-to.
I never really want to align myself with
If you read deeper into the story, it does seem to suggest this is a rebranding of their electric-only vehicles, like an arm of Jaguar rather than
That is their new logo. The logo has
the
changed to that font.
Is that the new Leaper, is it?
Yeah, could you see the font? The font change on... Jaguar. So Jaguar. So that's gone now. The actual Jaguar, the bit that makes it look cool, Jaguar leaping through the air. They've gone, let's get rid of that. You're like, that's the cool bit.
But there's a Prancing Leaper, a brass one I've got on here. So I don't, that must be on somewhere on the car.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
It'd be like Ferrari getting rid of the horse.
Yeah, some things don't need a rebrand, do they? Like, there's no point pimping up OXO cubes, because they are what they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what
also,
I mean?
I thought they'd done a great job, Jaguar, because they not to get into, we're not Top Gear, but you know what I mean? Like, they've gone from the old X-Type and, you know, those sort of classic-looking cars. They rebranded it with the XF and the XS, which we both have. You've got one. I got one.
You had an XF.
I loved it. It was
too many kids to fit in the car.
Yeah, one of the best cars I've ever had in my life. I loved it. But they were going after that market alongside your sort of BMWs and your Mercedes and stuff. And then, I mean, the car will still be a fantastic car because it's a brilliant car company. But what is the advert? The advert's nuts.
I know. That's where money goes, isn't it? You just do think, why have you spent all this money on this? They've given us some young
22-year-old. Yeah, exactly.
Idea. Yeah. We're going to rebrand this dusty old. And then that, you got that. I don't know. Well, you know. We're only being fed what we're meant to be fed, so we'll.
Well, that's the other thing.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe
and also,
a load of old blokes getting out of a lift.
We're also talking about it, so.
Which is the point, isn't it? Yeah.
Which is the point, isn't it? So maybe they have done well. Maybe they have judged the mood of the nation, but it does seem an odd thing to do in this sort of. You know, when everyone's flying around giving it, oh, woke this, woke that. You know what I mean? To sort of. To put an advert through the woke filter, and you know, and that comes out the other side. Not that I, you know, as I say, I am accused of being woke most days. So,
well, this is our new version of the devil's advocate.
I don't know what woke means. I don't know what it means.
The woke advocate. We just look at it through a woke filter, whatever that means. I thought it used to just mean being nice, didn't it? You know,
woke is pretty much anything that you don't like.
Yeah, it could be anything.
That's what. I,
It can be, it literally can be anything. Changing Starburst, Opal Fruits to Starburst.
Yeah, woke. Yeah,
Sift
yeah it goes
GIF. Woke.
Right from rebranding of famous companies, right yeah. through the gender discussion, race discussions, right through to health and safety.
And the size of wagon wheels.
And the it's all encompassing, the yeah. old woke phrase.
Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
By the way, if you've got a question for Steve or myself, you can email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. And Charlotte was asking us about expensive mistakes. And we sort of went off on a bit of a tangent about the new Jaguar.
No,
effort.
I did put I put the wrong fuel in my... That's how it starts.
No, you, that was right. Yeah. No, no, you, yeah. I'm bringing it back to one of mine. I remembered one of my mistakes. I was actually talking about this yesterday. We're talking about road accidents, you know, times where you've had a little bump or something. Now, I've never had anything serious, touch wood, thank goodness, considering the amount of miles I do every year. But I once had, and this is not funny, but it's sort of like, how can I describe it? It's like what would happen to like Mr. Bean.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It's that sort of thing. So
you were moving
the
settee in your Jaguar and you had it on the roof
exactly.
of your car.
In my three-wheeler. Yeah. I was... So what had happened was, I was driving, I was near the Trafford Centre, and I was going, I reckon, it was standstill traffic. I was going maybe 6 miles an hour. Like that, okay. Not even 10. Like that slow, crawling, right? Anyway, for whatever reason, I've looked at something, you know, out the window, and the car in front of me suddenly stopped. I'm not concentrating, and I've gone into the back of him. But I'm talking like... Like if I punched you for a laugh in your arm,
you're like yeah, it playing FIFA or something. Yeah,
yeah, it didn't feel that. It didn't even feel that hard. It was like that. Right. Bang, done. Yeah. Right. Anyway, the guy's got out. It's a sort of a biggish car. The guy's got out the car and he's going absolutely mental at me. And I was like, I said, I'm so, so well. To be fair, he's right, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, okay.
He comes over and he starts going off at me. And I said, I'm so sorry, mate. I just lost concentration for a second. You know, I'll pay for it. I'll sort it out. You know, he said, my wife's in the back of that car. She's in a wheelchair. I was like, oh, my God. I thought that's awful. Yeah. I said, is she okay? He went, so he's opened the door to check on her. She's a bit upset by the bump. And I've gone, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm really apologetic. You know, people are starting to gather. Then he goes to open the back boot to check she's all right. And where I've crashed into... is the lock mechanism.
Oh, so you've hit a perfect little spot.
So I've hit the perfect spot and I've broken the lock on this. Cut to, Steve, an hour later, the fire brigade are taking the roof off this car to airlift this woman out of the car.
Because that was the way of getting the chair out and everything.
That's the only way of getting her and the chair out of the car. And I'm like, I'm still sat there going... I was going 6 miles an hour. I looked out my window for 2 seconds. And they are still fuming with me. I can't apologise at all. And I can just feel like shoppers...
Just for my image, how many helicopters are above? I've got about
there's
four.
A helicopter's landed near Selfridges.
I've got about four helicopters. Searchlights. It's at night now. The fire brigade. Going up in the distance. Yeah.
And I'm sat there going, just shaking my head. And there's people like tutting at me, you know, on the road.
You're a monster.
Yeah, there's this woman's crying in a wheelchair. The husband's fuming. I was just sorry. I was going six miles an hour. I don't understand. Yeah, well. Like,
see, that's how easy
going,
it is, isn't it? There you go.
Concentrate. Perfect. Always concentrate when you drive. So that, I reckon, was probably my most expensive mistake. I've got another question for you, Steve, from this one. This is from Matt, who says, it's not long until Christmas party season, and I have a question, asks Matt. The Sands United Football Club in Ashby have a theme of 80s and 90s films. I'm stuck to what to go as. What would you two choose?
80s and 90s films?
Yeah.
Mm.
And, but also,
what's
it's Christmas,
the obvious
isn't it?
Ones? The obvious one's Die Hard, isn't it? Because it's Christmas.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And that's easy, isn't it? It depends how much work you want to put in. I mean, that's just a vest. Yeah. Packet of fags.
Yeah, that's true.
Some blood, really, isn't it? Grinch is hard work. Yeah, Marty McFly's easy, isn't it? Red Gilet.
Yeah, Doc Brown's easy.
Doc Brown's easy. Do you know how old he was when he did that film? by the way.
Oh, you're going to say like 38 or something, aren't you? 46. About 60. 46. Was it?
It's 46.
No way.
Yeah, Dr. Emmett Brennan, he's 46 when he played that.
Oh. I know, I read something the other day about, like, if you were born in 1980 or whatever, you're older now than the one that's not Joe Pesci in Home Alone. than he was when he filmed that.
Hey, yeah, he could go guy. As Macaulay Culkin, that'd be good. Or one of them two.
That'd
one
be
of the,
good.
What are they called? The water, what were they called? They had a name, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Water Bandits or something.
That's right, the wet bandits.
That's just a beanie hat and a, you know.
Yeah, that's easy.
If it's two of you, go as them two and just start tripping over all night, face first into a buffet.
Beetlejuice? You know,
Beetlejuice, yeah, 80s. Oh, yeah, I was thinking Christmas films, but yeah, it can be any 80s, can't it, really?
Yeah, it could be anything. Beetlejuice would be quite a good one.
What would be unique? What would be special? You know what I mean?
You could go as, like, the Attenborough Santa in Miracle on 34th Street.
Just an old regular old fella.
Because then you've just got to get a Santa suit and they're everywhere.
You're just a regular old fella, yeah. You could go
just
as that.
A regular, yeah.
Yeah. You could go as David Bowie in Labyrinth. That'd be a lot of...
That would hair, be good.
That's very... That would be good. You'd know who you were meant to be. You wouldn't go, who have you come as?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be is some it, good ideas.
Yeah, is it a football match? Are they got to wear these clothes while they're playing football, or is it just
says Christmas party? To be fair,
oh, okay, that's all right then. I was going to say because you won't want to be heading the ball with all that lacquer. Anything could happen. You lose the ball in the air.
Yeah, you don't need that, do you? You don't need that.
No.
And there are. I've heard from the Sands United football team before. They are they're a bunch of dads who have suffered bereavement. In you know, lost children over the years, and it's a, so it's a football team, and but also it's just a way of bereaved men to come together and share a love of sport, like a support network. So it's a really lovely you know, really lovely idea for idea, you know, to come out of sadness like that. So hope you have a lovely Christmas party, and let us know what you go as in the end. We'll be interested to know, Matt.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
Steve, what are you doing there?
I've got something for you. We haven't had this conversation yet, but listen to this.
Right. Cool. Cup of tea. Oh, nice. That sounded like a nice one.
It's a Yorkshire tea biscuit brew. Yeah. Have you had one of these yet?
Mate, that's the only brew I drink now.
I mean,
Have we not had this advertised?
Anyway. Do you like tea? Do you like biscuits? Then you like a Yorkshire brew. I've not seen it advertised anywhere. And nobody else is doing it. Twinings and all the other people, they haven't got on board. They haven't done a
Twinings wouldn't do one, would they?
No, yeah, but none of them, PG, Tetley, none of them have done it. They've got
Bang
two
on.
Different varieties of biscuit
Hang
brew,
on.
Right? And listen to this. The other day, I found one that was toast and jam that's been discontinued. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yorkshire Tea did a toast and jam one.
What? Hang on. You haven't got a sweet tooth.
It's not that sweet, though. It's just like somebody's just dipped a bicky in it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, fair enough. Do you know? So there's quite a few, actually.
I couldn't have it all the time. Do you have it all the time?
Right. Not every time, but I do have
it's
it quite a bit.
It's a treat for me. It's when I'm doing when I'm doing the radio or in the evening, I'll have a little bicky tea. But I'll drink normal tea the rest of the time. You got to treat it like a treat. You can't be doing it all the time.
There's the toast and jam, which you can still get on.
Discontinued.
It's not, you can get it on Amazon.
Oh, no, but it's about £400, isn't it? I thought about it. It's £18.99 or so, 40 bags or something.
There's one you're having, multi-biscuit brew, which tastes like tea.
I think I've got caramelised. Yeah,
there's caramelised biscuit brew.
I haven't had that one yet. That'd be like an obnob, will it? What do you think this one tastes like? I think this one tastes like Nice biscuits.
I think like a digestive. Oh, okay.
My mother-in-law says custard creams. I'm getting a Nice biscuit.
Mm.
Well, there you
Fair
go.
Fair enough.
And if you've not tried them, people listening, I'm telling you, you've got to try these.
There's a biscuit, the vanilla and nutmeg one as well, which is like a bedtime one.
Yeah, I think, I haven't tried that one. That's a nice decaf as well, I think.
Have you seen that Gary Neville clip of him? We mentioned it on Have I Got Sports for You the other day, where it's like, I think he thinks he invented dipping tea in biscuits. I think he thinks he invented it. Yeah. All right, listen to this.
Is he talking you through it? Go on.
I could do a full pack of custard creams dunked in tea. Have you ever dunked a custard cream in a English breakfast tea with milk in? Has anyone ever done that? Literally, one, just below your finger. Just get it below your finger and then go and straight all in.
Hold it with your finger. Like, how else
hold it with your finger. I know.
Like, get some, like, special medical apparatus out. Like,
what's
some
funny
tongs.
Is, he's sort of stood at a desk and it's like, he's actually looking at the crew. Has anyone
like
ever done that?
Talk. Like
hey,
a TED
has
talk.
Anyone... Has anyone ever done that? You're like, yes, Gary, we have. We've all dipped a biscuit in some tea. Oh man, what's the best biscuit to dunk? Do you think?
I mean, I think it's a digestive, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think chocolate digestive. There's too much going on. It's going to taint the tea. Same with the hobnob, I think.
Yeah. Years ago, when I was doing XFM breakfast, we're talking 15 years ago. We actually did a biscuit dunking championship.
Oh, did you?
How many dips? Yeah, how many dips a biscuit could take
withstand? I imagine something like a ginger nut would be quite robust.
Ginger nut does well. The one that actually sort of does really well, but I feel like it should be disqualified, is actually the pink wafer.
That's still, I don't feel like a biscuit. That
I, mean, I know, but
technically it is.
And I think because of the layers, but also it just expands because
it gets stronger, like, if anything, doesn't it? Go on, the more you try and hurt me, the bigger I get.
Yeah, exactly. I like to think it was the inspiration for Peter Kay's hobnob.
Oh, he does a big thing about hobnob.
Yeah, he does a big thing like, dunk me! But the hobnob.
Can a hobnob take a substantial amount of dunks?
I think maybe
I
two
like
or three.
It's made of a sum of many parts, and it would fall apart quite easy.
Yeah, but it's not your rich tea, is it? It's not your like, oh, forget it. No. You know what I mean?
But the rich tea
just the steam of the tea.
Yeah, but the rich tea doesn't give you any indication it's weakened. It just goes in going, I'm exactly the same. I fell apart.
Yeah, it's just gone.
And then you can't get it out because it's like jelly in the bottom of a cup.
Yeah. Maybe we should bring that back in the new year, the tea biscuit championship, Steve.
Well, maybe there'll be some Christmas biscuits. We could do it on the Christmas show.
Hey, yeah, we're good. I like
gingerbread men or something.
Yeah, good shout. Jason.
Absolute Radio. Manford. Where real music matters.
So, obviously, I'm on tour this week, Steve. Yeah. Busy one. Down to Plymouth. I did Plymouth Pavilions. Then I was up to Cardiff. And I'm going to head up to Liverpool very shortly. Leeds was... obviously, this is... We were pre-recorded, so Leeds was Saturday night. Edinburgh is tonight, Sunday, and Glasgow tomorrow, Monday. On my way up between Plymouth and Cardiff, I stopped off in Bristol, stayed there in Bristol.
Bristol,
which I love. I love Bristol. Every time I'm there, I'm still kicking myself. I should have gone there to university. It just looks such a great student town.
Good student town, yeah.
Even 20 years later, I'm like, I felt like I've missed out on a little opportunity. Lifetime opportunity there. So anyway, on the way through, I stopped in at a little cafe called The Crafty Egg.
Oh, The Crafty Egg, yeah.
The Crafty Egg. Good name, that, isn't it? Because, you know, when you're looking for brunch, you want something with a brunch item in the title, I think.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. And it says they don't take it too seriously, but they will take risks. You know what I mean? Suggest all those things.
Exactly, and there's probably something on the menu that's not on everybody's menu.
And also on the menu, I imagine there will be an egg shape with a big grin or something, or like stealing something.
Yeah, exactly. And they've but they don't have like Heinz ketchup, they make their own. Like, it's that sort of vibe.
Yeah, that's what you get.
You know what I mean? And I actually got the meaty poutine.
Meaty poutine?
Yeah, well, you know poutine, that Canadian dish.
It's normally just like chips, isn't it, with some sort of chicken gravy on it, isn't it?
Essentially, it's like, it's a...
What's the meaty poutine, then?
Well, it's basically, the poutine, I think, originally is it like cheese curds on potatoes or on chips or whatever, and then gravy
it's
as well.
Just on fries or something normally.
Yeah, this was potatoes, sort of boiled new potatoes, roast potatoes, with the cheese curds on it. Gravy was on a little pot on the side.
That's right, yeah.
And then top of that was eggs, bacon and sausage.
Oh, a full English.
I don't want to call it that.
I see why it's called the meat poutine now. Okay.
The meaty poutine, yeah. But it was like one sausage.
Are we saying that right?
I think so, yeah, poutine.
I feel like it's very close to a swear word in France.
Well, nobody hears us in France.
Nobody,
because
anybody listening who's just turned up from France on the Eurostar for the day and they turn the radio on. Yeah. Like, what is this station? There's so much swearing. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not our fault. You know what I mean? I'm fine with that. Write to Peter Horspool at Absolute Radio. That's
right, I've got his address here as well. If anyone's listening, 26.
That's our producer. He'll sort it.
He has got that.
It was delicious. Anyway, the reason I mentioned them, not just because of their... I also had a charcoal vanilla latte, Steve.
Ooh, you've changed, didn't you?
I've always
Did you have a look
like
over
that.
Your shoulder just see if anyone was watching?
I didn't want anyone to get me on a camera phone, get my career as...
Charcoal
vanilla latte.
How does that work? What is that?
It was vanilla flavoured.
Where's the charcoal coming in?
It was sort of like powdered on top. The black was like...
Oh, okay.
Like
right.
Yeah, so it was very nice. But anyway, the reason I mentioned them is because the table, when I posted the picture on the table, there was a little sign and it said, no laptops to be used on this table. No laptops
on this table.
So
is it a big place or a smallish place?
No, it's maybe about, I don't know, 12 tables.
Okay. And it's food as well. So you don't want, you don't want people...
Yeah. I realised, even a coffee shop, though, I think it's bang out of order.
No, but that's what they're there for. If you look at the amount of plug sockets that are there, that's what they're there for. And that's why they can charge £4 for a latte.
If it's
they know
packed,
that some people are going to be rinsing the... Yeah, but they never are packed. They're massive, the Starbucks and your Nero's.
Oh, no, those things are fine. I don't mind it in those things. Yeah. No, I'm talking an independent shop.
Oh, no, they shouldn't. That's not the place that you idle your day away. That's not...
No,
that's
and you're sat there. I said, some ponytail on a MacBook nursing a chai latte for 2 hours.
Well, that was you, wasn't it? Basically, you had I'd say you've used chai latte as an excuse, but that's a step down from charcoal.
Charcoal.
You went.
Yeah, that's probably a great coconut. Name.
It's probably
that's a good
charcoal.
Name.
It's charcoal with coconut milk. It's a charcoal. I'll have a charcoal latte, please.
I would have actually bought that. If I saw that on the board, I'll have a charcoal latte, please. I was actually well behind it. I was like, I'm up for this. Anyone who comes in here and sits on a laptop all day.
You shouldn't be allowed when there's food. Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Or every 40 minutes, you've got to buy something new.
I know, but that's what if it's an independent, yes, I agree, because you know they've got costs, haven't they? But your Starbucks.
Oh, I'm not bothered about Starbucks and Costa and all that. Yeah, fine. Use their electric, all sorts. Plug your air driving if you want.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Not charging your home appliances. Bring a drill in. Just charge the batteries.
Yeah.
Music matters.
Got an old friend on the phone now, comedian Steve Gribbin. Steve, how long have you been in stand-up comedy?
I've been actually doing it now 42 years, but I'm counting it as 40 because I didn't work for 2 years because of you know what.
Yes, of course. So 40 years of stand-up comedy. So you must have been around with like Buster Keaton and... it's been a while.
I feel like I should have a pipe in my mouth going, hey, you know when I were a lad, we're all observational comedy around here. I was there at not the very beginning, but just close to the beginning of the kind of major comedy boom,
You would have been, I guess, where that shift happened from sort of the working men's circuit of the sort of my mother-in-law into more observational stuff, political stuff, that sort of movement, the Comedy Store movement, I guess, back in the day with Ben Elton's and Alexis Sayles and whatnot. So you were you knew all those guys and you worked with those guys?
And we were kind of the generation after them, and they're still, my sort of comedy sort of like holy trinity is Les Dawson, Victoria Wood and Alexis Sayles. So they're the three people that are sort of...
What a dinner party that'd be.
I wish... I've actually met Alexi and two times he was very nice and then one time he wasn't.
Yeah, that's similar vibe when I've met him, to be fair. So 40 years, obviously you've seen it all change and things move on and different. Your sort of satirical music as well, songs that I see them obviously when I used to gig with you on the circuit, and I see your stuff that you post online. How's the shift in government been for a comedian like you?
Business as usual, I think the job of a comedian is to make fun of stuff, and it doesn't. Yeah. I don't care who's in power. You know, once you've got power, you're fair game, really, basically.
Absolutely. And they have provided it's punching a up, bit isn't of it? Ammunition. Well, they've not helped themselves. Yeah, exactly.
You know, the freebies, everything. Yeah, it's going great.
I mean, it's so mad. I mean, it's mad, isn't it? I mean, I voted for him, but there's still a point where you sat there going, you know, when you sat around thinking, right, what should we implement as our first thing? Take that heating allowance off the old people. You're like, what, the first thing?
Yeah. Not to mention the smoking ban in the gardens, which they've now backtracked on and said, oh, sorry, you can go ahead and smoke in the garden. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. There is some mad things that they do. But, you know, that's always going to be with governments. But for a comic like you, that is, you know, you could get 10 minutes out of that, can't you?
Yeah, yeah. Ready. It's like gold, really, you know. Yeah. Everything's going on the last few. I was going to say, the first gig I ever did, there was a woman, this is absolutely true, called Vivian Sohn, who's dressed as the Archbishop of Canterbury, which is...
what year was this?
That was 1982.
1982.
She was on roller skates and she was playing the saxophone, and the stage was sloped. It was at the tram shed in Woolwich. And she couldn't stop herself going past the microphone. So every act she'd introduce, go, ladies and gentlemen, please. I can't get that image of the Archbishop of Canterbury on roller skates. Oh, dear.
That's great. Well, he's on roller skates now, isn't he? He's out. He certainly is.
Off he goes. Bye, Justin.
Off he goes. See you later. And obviously Trump coming in and all that. I mean, it's just... Oh. That's when the world is at its most difficult for a lot of people, as comics, you know, you can really jump on it, can't you? And try and make people laugh with the absurdity of what's going on.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, people that don't understand it, like civilians, as we call them, they say, you know, they
muggles.
Start making jokes. Yeah, muggles. You say, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I said, I can't help myself.
Yeah, you know, I know,
things are terrible. And I'm just thinking, what is funny about this? You know, I've got to find the angle. Got to find
so in 40 years, all those 40 years, you're finally going to celebrate those 40 years in the business.
Yes. Got a so big gala evening at the Comedy Store in London called 40 Years in the Saddle. And I've corralled a bunch of old friends and top comedians, Harry Hill, Jack D, the little twinkle toes himself, Chris McCausland, Angela Barnes, Kerry Godleyman, Ria Lina, Nina Benjamin and me, all for £25. And everything, all profits are going to the Alzheimer's Society, which is my favourite charity, basically.
Fantastic. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's brilliant. And when, what date is that on?
That is on Wednesday, the 11th of December. Early start as well, 7:30.
Oh, nice. Done for 10. The old rat past. Nothing better, is there?
Yeah, that's, you can't help it, can you? Just thinking, done for 10, home for 11. For
Well, look, I hope it goes really well. How can people buy tickets, Steve?
Just go onto the Comedy Store website. Just follow the link there. Buy tickets. I think there's very, very few tickets left. I think it's like we're in the tens.
Wow. Well, it's well deservedly so. After 40 years in the saddle, have a little look out for that at the Comedy Store. Steve Gribbin, well worth a follow on social media as well. Always posting up to date satirical songs and funny bits. What's your social media handles, my friend?
It is Steve Gribbin Comedy across all of them. TikTok, Instagram, X, soon to be Blue Sky, I think.
Are you going to pop over there as well? I'm sure you are.
I might be popping over there, yes.
You'll have a song about that, I'm sure.
I will do.
Nice one. All right, Steve, best of luck with it, mate.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Hit me with your best fact. Woo! Fire away.
All right. We're here again in the last hour of the show, and it's our long-running game, Hit Me With Your Best Facts, where you simply send us your best facts and we read them. You hit us with them.
And
you hit us with them.
We work out, if we get knocked out, then that's the winner.
Yeah, exactly. So we have got plenty to be going off this morning. Please, if you've got any Christmas ones, save them for maybe next week, the week after. We're going to be pre-recording our Christmas special very shortly as well. Also, if you've spotted anything out there in Christmas world, where everything's Christmas-based, and you've seen something that you think, oh, that would be a good thing to try, but I don't want to buy it myself. Why don't we get
that? Looks disgusting.
Yeah. Why don't we get some sort of PR company to make Jason and Steve eat it? That's what we're after. So email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. So we've got an Absolute Radio mug on its way to the winner today, but let's find them. Let's start with Joe, who says there are nearly 4,000 ways to get a 9-dart finish.
Really? 4,000 ways to get a 9-dart finish?
Well, I can believe it. When it comes to numbers, I just go,
Yeah. Well, it's all the, there's the trebles, there's the doubles, there's the different, you know, versions of adding that number to that number. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
So this is like, have you got to end on a certain number? Is that what she means by it? I'm not really big on darts. I mean, I know it, but I don't know the...
You have to end on zero. You have to get to zero.
Oh, that's what she means. Right, got you. So if you, a certain number, you're like, right, I need to get a 19 and a 3 and a 5 or whatever. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Over 4,000 ways, crikey. Mm. Luke Littler is part of the new Bullseye on ITV as well.
Oh, are they bringing it back, are they?
They're bringing it back. Freddie Flintoff is hosting, and I think Luke Littler is involved. Breathing new life. I've read that in the paper. It said breathing new life into darts. I thought, isn't it nice to hear the phrase breathing new life into darts and not immediately think that must be a paramedic?
Yeah.
Luke actually has messaged. I don't know if it is Luke Littler, but another Luke. It says the man that built Hyperia at Thorpe Park. Is there a roller coaster called Hyperia?
Yeah,
okay. Hyperia. Oh, I don't think that's a good name, Thorpe Park.
No, I don't think it's a great name, no.
It's not Nemesis, is it? I mean, obviously I'm a bit biased because Alton Towers is near me. But
I'm Staffordshire. It is the best Staffordshire one. Yeah. Thorpe Park's all right, but nothing beats Alton Towers.
If an American came over and they said, hey, where's your best theme park that rivals what we have? You'd be like, Alton Towers.
Yeah, easy. There's no question. So. It's none of the other ones. Not Chessington or, you know, Thorpe Park. It's that.
Flamingo Land. Yeah, exactly. Although Hyperia, Luke says, Hyperia. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how hard to go in on the P. Did you say Hyperia?
Is it hype with a Y?
Hyperia.
Or high, like H-I-G-H.
No, like H-Y-P. H-Y-P.
It's hyped up.
That's what they're going for.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's a little bit. Anyway, by all accounts, it is the tallest and fastest roller coaster in the UK. So what do we know?
But, you know, size is not the only thing, is it? That's, you know, what I say, isn't it?
Quite. Well, the man who built Hyperia at Thorpe Park actually has a phobia of roller coasters.
It's a weird job, isn't it?
That is a weird job for you to be doing,
mate. He built it or designed it? What do you mean he built it?
He built it or he designed it.
With his hands, like...
Yeah, well, maybe he means designed it. But what a weird... Well, do you think he's got that?
It's like a sick streak, isn't it? If you don't like heights and you're going, I'm going to make them go really high, I'm not getting on it. You know what I mean? Weird.
Where is Thorpe Park, anyway?
Thorpe Park, it's sort of when you just come onto the M3. It's near Twickenham. Okay. It's about 20 minutes from Twickenham.
All right. Maybe we should have a little trip out. Maybe if I might have a little go. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh on Thorpe Park.
No, Thorpe Park's good. Thorpe Park is good, but it's not Alton Towers. That's all.
Right. All right. Maybe have a little go. We'll have a go sometime. Give it a chance. You know what I mean? Give it a chance. Mark says most white cats with blue eyes are deaf.
Yeah, I can see that. There's a lot of that, isn't there? Like dogs with blue eyes go blind, don't they, and stuff. It's like a genetic thing, I think.
A white cat with blue eyes and they're deaf. Gosh. How odd. And Rikesh says Jeeps are full of hidden design Easter eggs.
Oh.
What does that mean? The car, the Jeep thing. Car?
Yeah, it must mean the Jeep. That's nice. It's got like little things in like... You know, you press
the horn.
What,
that you just sort of discover?
Coffee cup holder comes down. You know.
Didn't know that was But
so
what?
Jeep, the brand, is there a... So their cars are full of... Their Jeeps are full of, like, push that button, thing just comes out you didn't know was there. It must be mentioned,
It'll be online somewhere. I like the sound of that, though. Just like owning a car for 2 years and going, oh, my God, it's a second glove box.
Put gloves in there.
You just find a glove each. Yeah, that's I quite like the salad. That's good. Feel free to keep them coming in this morning, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Gary says, "What do you know what the biggest clock in England is? It's not Big Ben."
No, well, that's isn't that the bell, Big Ben? The,
well, yeah.
The Ben on the, you know, not the face.
Yeah.
Although when that turned sort of, you know, yeah, Will thought it was black and it's sort of like bluey purple. That freaked everyone out, didn't it? You know, the colour of the face.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
They redid it. They did it up, didn't they?
What's that one in Liverpool on the Liver building? Is that looks big?
Isn't there one in Liverpool that's got like three sides as well? I think it's in like Runcorn or somewhere. It's like a three-sided one.
They've nicked it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. The NBA logo, according to Daniel, of a player dribbling a ball, is actually a real person. His nickname is now The Logo because of this.
It must be quite old, the logo, mustn't it?
Yes, but it's been there for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. But maybe it was like the Premier League. It started in like 1995 or something. And that guy is still around. The logo.
I guess so, yeah.
It's called The Logo.
It's sort of like a guy, he's got a ball in like his left hand, hasn't it? It's like a red and blue thing. And he's white.
We all claim to be The Logo, couldn't we?
Well, you know what I mean? If I remember the shape of it, no, I couldn't really. It very much
a few years ago.
It's very much an athlete, Steve.
Well, yeah, but you got an athlete's heart, haven't you? Maybe it was AI.
People are not seeing my heart. Robin says, each year about €1.5 million are thrown into the Trevi Fountain in Rome and it has to be emptied twice a year to stop it from blocking up. Mm-hmm. €1.5 million, Steve.
What do they do with the euros?
I actually read this in the paper, or it pops up on Instagram or whatever, a few weeks ago, and they donate it to a load of local charities.
Oh, okay. So keep some of it for the upkeep of the fountain. Pay the guy who's just drained it. Or they say the guy who's like draining it, they go, right, keep an handful for yourself, right? No more.
Yeah.
Fill your pocket.
If the guy who drains it's his only job and he only does it once a year, or whenever it is, twice a week, then you know what? He can keep it. Very good. I like these so far. Estelle tells us the little excited wiggles that guinea pigs do are called popcorns.
Oh, the guinea pigs, a little wiggle. They're called popcorns.
Popcorns. That's actually a good name for a guinea pig. Popcorn.
Yeah. Popcorn. Yeah. If they did it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do they do the wiggle, do you think?
I don't know. Excited?
Yeah.
Happy? Hungry? My mate who was a redcoat once told me that redcoats do this thing called, I think it's called swanning. When they, you know, when you're just sort of, you know, watching something and three of them come over to you like a swan. You have a nice time with their hands behind the back. It's called swanning. So, no. Yeah.
We might think it's like a little cute, excited wiggle. It might be something to like exert dominance.
It might be, yeah. Go down, popcorn, mate. Yeah.
I'm the alpha around here.
Yeah.
Jack says, do you know that in Columbo, his first name is never mentioned?
Is it not? Is it? You watched a lot of Columbo, didn't you? Like Columbo?
Yeah, I feel like I did Columbo as a
lieutenant
specialist
Columbo.
Subject once.
Yeah. Never mention his. Yeah, he's just Lieutenant Columbo, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you don't. But
his name is never mentioned.
His name is Frank, though. I know that.
Oh well. Oh, so his name is. He's got a name, but it's just never mentioned.
Yeah, but that is from. Because I'm a Columbo expert.
I know, but it must have been written down on a bit of paper in the show or somewhere.
He flashes his badge in like series 10.
Oh, and you see Frank Columbo.
And you see
I never had him as a Frank.
He looks like a Frank. Give over. He couldn't be any more
like
of a
Francis?
Frank.
Is it Francis?
No, it's Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
Like well, Sinatra, he's Frank, isn't he? You know.
Yeah, he's
exactly,
Frank as well,
to be
isn't
Frank.
He?
Yeah. And his wife's called Kate Columbo.
You never see her, do you? He talks
you never
about
see her.
Her.
My
and there
wife,
is one episode that she is in, but it's not her, is it? It's a sting.
That's right.
Remember that one with and the marmalade?
It's a poison marmalade.
It's poisoned, but it's
and then he takes
the
some as well.
Yeah, it's all part of the ruse. And, but he goes to a funeral and everything, doesn't he? And you know, you see, oh, that's great. That one.
It's such a brilliant show.
Have you watched Poker Face?
Yeah, I love it. Love it.
It's very similar, isn't it? It's got a sort of, you see the murder vibe. And, you know.
So clever. I love it. There's not lots like that anymore, is there, those sort of shows? I mean, would you say Madame Blanc was up there with those sort of detective shows?
It's a you know, unravelling of a mystery, isn't it? It's just
cozy Columbo crime.
Columbo did it in a way that, you know, they showed them. No one did that. They showed the murder. You knew who did it. Wasn't who done it. Yeah. You knew who done it.
Yeah.
It was how he was going to get them.
Yeah, it was like Columbo. A why did it?
And he's like an idiot for ages, isn't he? Going, right, the thing with it. And they go, oh, Mr. Columbo, it's called art. And they just, he goes, oh, you think you're so much better than him. But he's got you, my friend.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Dean Martin roast where Columbo turns up in character?
No.
Oh, it's worth it. After we finish the show today, Google that. It's Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah,
and at some point, I think Dean Martin, we got a friend from the New York Police Department, Lieutenant Columbo. And he comes out, oh, Jess, I can't believe it. My wife's a great fan of yours. And he does the whole thing in character. It's so, and they are crying laughing. It's really funny, really funny. Colin tells us the shortest commercial flight in the world is scheduled for 90 seconds with a distance of 1.7 miles.
What? There's a flight? What? Does that exist?
Well, it must be over some water, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it must be, mustn't it? But still, 1.6 miles, did you say?
1.7 miles.
You could walk that in 10 minutes.
Yeah, or swim it, I imagine.
Yeah. Oh, we don't know that, do we? Okay.
Where it is then.
Okay.
I reckon it'll be one of them. Highlands. I've got a feeling it's one of them, yeah, up there in the...
Yeah.
Up that way.
Yeah.
Highlands, Logan Air or something. It'll be one of them.
Yeah.
1.5 minutes, crikey. Probably still costs about 300 quid.
Yeah.
Paul says, did you know there is a town in the UK that once had city status but lost it in 1998? And that town can never again get city status back.
In the UK, there's a town that lost its city status. I've never heard of this. 1997, did you say?
Oh, that's good, yeah. 1997.
That's very good. Who got what? Stripped? Do you reckon it was stripped off them?
Stripped off her.
Yeah. I feel like Leamington Spa is not Royal Leamington Spa anymore. I mean, it's not the same thing, but I feel like people just call it Leamington Spa now rather than Royal Leamington Spa.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Royal Tunbridge Wells. Do people say Tunbridge Wells or Royal Tunbridge Wells? What makes it royal?
I don't know. That's Stripped. A good one as well. That does make me want to know a bit more about that. And Hannah throws in, lobsters can live to be over 100 years old. Nice, simple one to finish on.
Yeah, you can remember that.
Is it the same with lobsters as with crabs? Is it where like they won't stop growing, like they live that like they just keep on growing until they're killed? Or
oh yeah, we did have this before.
I feel like we've had that before.
Something like that. Yeah,
some crustacean anyway can just literally keep on going. Like so, there's a 15-foot crab just walking around the dark bits of the sea. Terrifying. We're going to pick a winner. Up to now, we had 4,000 ways to get a 9-dart finish. Hyperia, the Thought Park roller coaster, was built by a man who's got a phobia of roller coasters. White cats with blue eyes are deaf. Jeeps are full of hidden Easter eggs, not literally, as in design Easter eggs. The biggest clock in England is not Big Ben. The NBA logo of a player dribbling a ball is actually a real person. 1.5 million euros are thrown into the Trevi Fountain in Rome each year and has to be emptied twice a week. The little wiggle that a guinea pig does is called a popcorn. Columbo says his first name, as I've mentioned, but I dispelled that one, didn't I, because he is actually called Frank. The shortest commercial flight in the world is scheduled at 90 seconds. We reckon that's up in Scotland. And there's a UK town that once had its city status... we're guessing stripped of its city status, and it can never get it back again. Yeah. And lobsters can live to be over 100 years. So, Steve, which one is piquing your interest there?
I like the big clock I'm interested in because I'd like to know what the biggest clock in the UK. It's a good fact to know, isn't it? I'm just thinking, you know, what would be put like that. But I am interested in the city status. Which one lost it? I didn't know that could be taken off you. Because it's not always about the cathedral and the university, is it? It's... You know, But what's happened?
Well, we it's how many WH Smiths you've got, isn't it? That's what we decided.
Yeah, yeah. How many WH Smiths you've got? Yeah.
I think. What are you thinking?
I think that one. If I'm honest, I'm already googling it.
We would have. One of us would have done a gig there, or has been there and gone.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been there. There's a town in the UK that was once had city status but lost it in 1998, and it can never again get that city status back.
Never get it back.
Never again. It's the town of Rochester in Kent.
Oh, Kent, yeah.
Which means Kent has only one city to show for its 1,400 square miles, Canterbury, with its cathedral. And Rochester also has a cathedral. Yeah. So you would think, surely that's a city, yeah. But until very recently, Rochester was a city, but that all changed in 1998 when the local government districts of Rochester upon Medway and Gillingham were merged to form the Unitary Authority of Medway.
Right.
Due to an administrative oversight, it lost its city status in the process. A mistake that was...
oversight.
Yeah, it's nothing exciting.
Which button did you press there? On the drop-down menu, did you put we were a city or a town? I just put rather not say. Why did you put rather not say? Well, you know, get a bit confused in the modern world, don't you?
A mistake was apparently only discovered by Rochester Society 4 years later when it noticed it had been admitted from the Lord Chancellor's list of UK cities. Medway Council then made two unsuccessful attempts to make the whole of Medway a city in 2000 and 2002 before its more recent bid in 2012 as part of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee celebration. Medway was one of 26 towns that applied for city status. Which you didn't get. So...
I think I've been to Rochester, but I get confused. Yeah. I think I've been to Rochester and I think it's quite like grand and dilapidated. I think that's why I remember it, but I might be somewhere else.
Well, I feel like that myself, to be honest.
Yeah, grand and dilapidated.
That's me, yeah. So that's an Absolute Radio winging its way to you, Paul, for your best fact this morning. If you want to join in with our little game, all you got to do is email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Absolute Radio, where real music matters.
I'm actually appearing on Absolute Radio during the week this week, Steve.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, we are about to release over 100 new dates for the tour next year. They go on sale this Wednesday and Thursday, and so I'm popping on to as a guest on Absolute Breakfast this week with Dave Berry. So I'll be everywhere. Tuesday, I'm on everything. Yeah, I'm on absolutely everything. Absolute Hits Breakfast, Magic Breakfast. I'm whoring myself out, Steve. That's what I'm doing.
Well, you got tickets to sell. There's nothing wrong with that.
Got tickets to sell. Got kids to feed, you know what I mean? So I'll be around. But if you want to come to the show, of course, all you got to do is check my website, jasonmanford.com. Loads of new gigs coming out, as well as this next week as well, where... Like I said, tonight, Edinburgh, tomorrow, Glasgow, and then we're Newcastle, Manchester, which is nearly sold out now, I think. And then we are Birmingham and Nottingham, and then we're done, ready for Panto. Gosh, it's come around fast. Yeah. Oh, yes, it has. I was waiting for Oh No, It Hasn't, Steve.
No, I was. It didn't feel like it was that question.
No, fair enough. I thought, that's come around fast.
Ruin
oh,
the
no,
flow.
It hasn't. I thought, whatever, but that's all right. Look, you're not a Panto guy. I get it.
Yeah, no.
You're a proper actor. I know, I get it. So we'll see you next time here on Absolute Radio. Have a lovely Sunday and a cracking week. All the best. Take care.